Hey, y'all. As you likely know, the one and only sponsor of the Hashtag Am Writing podcast is Author Accelerator, the book coaching program that helps writers all the way through their projects to the very end. Usually, Author Accelerator offers only long-term coaching, and they're great at it. But they've just launched something new, Inside Outline Coaching, a four-week-long program for novelists and memoir writers that can help you find just the right amount of structure so that you can plot or pants your way to an actual draft. I love the Inside Outline, and I think you will too. I come back to mine again and again, whether I'm writing or revising. Working through it with someone else helps keep you honest and helps you deliver a story structure that works. Find out more at authoraccelerator.com/insideoutline.
Is it recording?
Now it's recording.
Yay!
Go ahead.
This is the part where I stare blankly at the microphone. I don't remember what I'm supposed to be doing.
All right, let's start over.
Awkward pause, and
I'm going to rustle some papers.
Okay.
Now one, two, three. Okay.
Hey, welcome to Hashtag Am Writing, the podcast.
I'm Jess Leahy. I'm the author of The Gift of Failure and some articles you could find if you Google my name, and a forthcoming book on preventing substance abuse in kids.
I'm Serena Bowen, the author of 30 romance novels. The next one will be called The Moonlighter.
And I am KJ Dell'Antonia, author of How to Be a Happier Parent, former lead editor and writer for the New York Times' Motherload blog, and author of a novel forthcoming next summer, A Beach Read. And if you are a regular listener, you might have noticed a little difference in our introduction today, because we are now Hashtag Am Writing, the podcast, and, now with more Serena.
Now with more Serena. And you may have noticed some weird hesitation in our voices as we were doing the intro, because it's been a couple of years doing the regular intro, and I am happy to make a change. I like it.
This fall, we're sparking it up. There's going to be three of us sometimes. We're going to do lots of interviews. We're going to do some great new projects that we are excited about. But today, we're just doing a podcast on one of my favorite dear to my heart topics, which is the burn chart.
Now, this is very timely because in the Hashtag Am Writing Facebook group, someone posted just a few days ago, could someone please explain this whole tracking software burn chart thing? And we've talked about burn charts a couple of times because KJ likes them. And
I do.
Because I've never really use them. I wanted to know more about how to use them, especially, with this deadline looming. But you and Serena are so good at planning your time. I think it's something I could really learn from.
Well, that was something I was thinking about was, I think, is there a difference between a burn chart and a to-do list? And the answer is, not necessarily if your to-do list goes all the way to the end.
Where are we now? KJ, you still burn charts. Serena, do you use burn charts?
Well, I use a thing called Pacemaker, and I can't wait to hear how much like or different it is from KJ's burn chart.
Okay.
And this is perfect because that is clearly a software thing, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so I'm the paper burn chart. You are the digital vision. Okay, version. All right.
And I'm the one who just sits in the chair and hopes that I get enough words on the page to meet my deadline in October.
I hope you're doing a little bit more than hoping, but if not, hey, we've got time. We got time to rein you in.
Okay.
All right. So a burn chart is a physical manifestation of two things, and one is the amount of time that you have to go towards your deadline, and the other is your tangible markers of your progress towards that deadline. So just to really make it incredibly easy, if for some reason you knew that you had to write 1,000 words with no quality control at all. 1,000 words is ridiculous. That no one would ever have to. If you say you have to write 10,000 words and you have absolutely, doesn't matter what they say, that you just have to write 10,000 words and then you have 5 days in which to do it, obviously at the end of every day, you need to check off that you have written 2,000 words. That would be very easy. You would make one side of your chart
2,000 words, 4,000 words, 6,000 words, you know, and then the other side, the days, and then you would draw a little straight line, and if you got there, you know, you'd be right on your line, and if you got, you know, if you wrote 2,300 words, you'd be a little above or below your line, depending on how you want to measure it. And so really the key is that you have divided the work that you have to do up into measurable,
achievable.
That's an interesting piece of it. So when I created my burn chart for the Chicken Sisters revision, I had exactly 30 days and I had 27 chapters. And I went through and I sort of thought about, I had a list of the chapters. So I wrote out the chapters and I thought, well, these, you know, these are in pretty good shape. So I ought to be able to do these together. And this one's in bad shape. So I sort of tried to chunk them together. And I turned out after 2 days, I was dramatically wrong. So, but it was really good because I had, you know, I had sort of drawn this line of where I thought I could get to. And I very quickly realized I couldn't do nearly as much as I thought that I could. So I was able to, you know, sort of quickly rejigger the chart right away. And if I hadn't been able to rejigger the chart, I could have quickly asked for, you know, another 2 weeks, because it was immediately clear that I was only going to be able to manage one chapter a day, tops. And some days I wasn't even able to manage that, but fortunately, and then it turned out to sort of all zip along at the end. So you have to, yeah, you have to be able to define, an achievable goal, yes, but that's kind of problematic, because if you've got 30 days and 40 chapters and all you can do is a chapter in a day, then there you are. You know, your deadline's not going to work.
Yeah.
So that's part of the reason to create a burn chart.
Well, and the nice thing about your burn charts, KJ, having looked at them many times with great envy, is I remember when you were writing How to Be a Happier Parent, you had these very pretty burn charts that, you know, ideally what you have is an X-axis and a Y-axis and a line that goes down to zero. And by the time you're done, your little line meets the bottom line and you're down at zero and it looks all pretty. And I remember seeing one of those and thinking, oh, well, wouldn't that be satisfying?
It is satisfying. Yeah, I've got the Happier Parent one here now. And that was one where I divided the work into, I mean, the chunks were sort of only coherent to me, because it might be, outline this and draft this and revise that. But as long as I got through, I think I was at a 3-chunk-a-day plan. So because I had a pretty solid idea of what I could and couldn't do. Now, on the Chicken Sisters chart, I also made a funny mistake, which is that I did the axes wrong. It's hard. I'm trying to think how to explain it, but the way that I did it, it wasn't satisfying.
Oh, okay.
So if I achieved more than I thought I would achieve, there wasn't a way, because I had put the chapters all along the bottom, there wasn't sort of, if I marked that I had colored it in, it didn't look good. Like, it didn't look like I was doing something better. So I turned it sideways, and
it needs to look really satisfying. You either have to be coloring.
Don't worry, we will put pictures.
We'll put all these pictures up on the website, but it needs to look satisfying. You need to be either creating a long bar of color, or you need to be reaching some zero end point.
And you can burn up, so you could have, you know, like if it's the first day of the month and you need to get, you know, one chunk down or one chapter done, so you put the day on the up and down axis and the achievement, and then you know, sort of color it in, and the next day you get, and so you can go up, or you can, as I did with Happier Parent, you can count down, because I needed to cross things off. So I started off at the top of my, you know, in the upper left-hand corner, and I burned down.
Okay, that makes sense.
So as I checked things off. But in Chicken Sisters, I ended up wanting to burn. And that's how I created Chicken Sisters, but it didn't work. Actually, I see I did the axis backwards. Anyway, I ended up burning up.
Okay.
And burning up was more satisfying.
Okay.
So how does this compare to doing it on Pacemaker, Serena?
You know, it's kind of similar. With Pacemaker, you tell it what you're doing. So drafting as opposed to revising. And then you tell it how many words you need to go.
Was this designed for writing specifically?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And then you give it your deadline, and then what I do enjoy is that you can finesse a little bit with telling it how many, when you're not going to work. Like, I had two trips this month, and I was able to tell Pacemaker that I would not be writing on those days. And the nice thing about that is that it's always recalculating. So right now it tells me that I have, on this project, I have 11 days left. And over those 11 days, I have 15,800 words to go. And so it very handily lets me know that I need to write 1,317 words each day to get to my target of 90,000 total words.
So if you do that or don't do that, do you tell the app or is it integrated with whatever you're using to write?
No.
With the app that you're using
to write? It's not integrated. It's just like a satisfying thing to open up the Pacemaker window and enter my new total word count.
Is it on your phone or on your computer?
It's a desktop app, which I admit is not very 2019.
Okay.
But again, I'm not...
But this would work really well for either drafting and, you know, I'm assuming if you get to 80,763 words and you write the end, you're going to count.
Of course.
So it would work really well for that. Or for revising where... You know, you could put in the number of words that you sort of
right.
have.
Yeah, how does it work for revising specifically?
Well, I was just doing a revision on something else, and I would have entered it the same way, where I would have just told it how many words were left in the unrevised part of the document, or rather, how many were in the revised part. But it's actually kind of flexible. I think you can instead just tell it how many revision words you covered that day. You can make it do a lot of what you might want to do.
Okay, so what happens if, like, today, for example, my plan is to submit the chapter I'm working on right now to my agent by the end of the day. I was feeling really good about it yesterday, and then I dove back into the beginning, and I said, oh, heck, this stinks. I have to redo, you know, what ended up being a whole morning's worth of work. And I think I can still get it done. But how does a program like that account for, you know, the fact that what you've got is not always what you think you've got?
Well,
or can it?
Obviously, it can't, but it just recalibrates. So I like to keep things so that my daily word count that I need to accomplish is 1,200 words or lower. Like I feel good about life when that line marching across the screen says you have to do 1,200 words every day to stay ahead. And now yesterday I didn't write anything, but I did a lot of thinking about what was wrong with this book and what I needed to do to fix it. So today when I opened up the window, it said, guess what, honey, you've got to do 1,300 instead of 12 just to keep your head above this ocean. And so obviously I slipped there a little bit, but you know, if I put up 1,500 words today, which let's face it is not an insane number, then, you know, it'll start to go back in the right direction.
Okay.
So I guess it just depends on what it is you're needing to measure. I mean, I admit my burn charts tend to be sort of like complicated multi-page affairs. Because, for example, if I was doing what you are doing, Jess, and if I had chapters that needed to go through phases, so you need to draft it, then you need to send it to your agent, then you're probably going to revise it, then you're going to send it to your editor. When I'm doing that, I allow time for those other people's involvement. So if I were where you are,
You would be in a total panic.
I would be in a total panic. So it's utter and total sympathy and props for you. I would be after I was done breathing into the paper bag under my desk, I would come out and I would make a list. And you probably, I mean, that's the thing, you know, maybe you just want to use a list, but I would make a list and it would be like, probably I would, so and I'm looking at my How to Be a Happier thing and it's How to Be a Happier Parent. And I listed the chapters and then I checked off, had I outlined it? Had I drafted it? Had it gone to my agent, had I revised it? I actually was not sending chapters to my editor, so I didn't have that as a piece. And there was a point when I sort of had estimated the percentage that things were drafted and things were a little crazy, but you know, I was allowing for that process so that when the last chapter that was going to my agent was going to my agent, I would be on, say, revising the mm-hmm. first three chapters. So I made these really sort of monstrous multi-page lists. And then what I did was to figure, all right, you know, let's sort of, each one of these is going to take me 3 hours. Let's add up all the 3 hours and then divide it by the amount of time that I have left and sort of lay it out there. And one of the reasons to do that is so that you can see if you're going to be able, because sometimes you set a deadline that you're just not, you know, you can't hit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so much better to recognize that 5 days into working with your burn chart when you're like, wait a minute, you know, I'm 7 chunks underwater or, you know, 12,000 words underwater. This is never. And then you can reach out to everyone else involved and be like, and when it's a visual reminder, you can't fool yourself.
Right.
You can't every day go, and I worked really hard. you know, like I did everything I possibly could, because there are circumstances when did everything you possibly could isn't going to get you, you know, to October 1st with the book in your hand.
Well, and that's why we changed this deadline to begin with. I mean, I hit May and realized, oh yeah, July 1st is not going to happen. And I actually went to my agent before. She had planned to come to me on May 1st, and I got to her before that to say, yeah, we need to change this. But I actually, you know, I'm my little sort of clue to myself when something is done, mine's a lot simpler than yours in the sense that what I do is keep that all those chapters on the left-hand side of my page in Scrivener, I close the folder when that chapter is done or out or mm-hmm. off to edit. And then I can see, the nice thing for me is I can see all the time on the left-hand side of the page things that I need to put cues for, where I'm headed. Oh, don't forget that in chapter 7, I'm going to say such and such. So I have sort of a nice little visual cue on the side, but it's really pretty simple for me. I don't really have a strategy as involved. Right now, I'm in the just keep my head down and keep plowing through. And I always worry that if I take time to do things like, you know, make a very fancy burn chart, which would be a wonderful procrastination strategy for me right now, that I'm just using up time on something when I should just be sitting at my desk writing the words. So,
well, that is a know yourself thing, and it's probably helped by the fact that you've written, you know, you've written this kind of book before.
Mm-hmm.
What's really weird about that, though?
Yeah, that's true. But what's really weird about that is because I don't have a burn chart for Gift of Failure. Every once in a while, I look around and I think, did I really write that book? Because I don't remember how that even happened. It's like that labor thing with childbirth and labor. You know, the only reason you do another one is because you forget what it was like the first time around.
I experienced that too, where I will read. I've had to go back into my own books a lot this month to see what I said about certain secondary characters. And there'll be a joke in there, and I'm like, I don't really remember where that came from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm having that too. So, Serena, one thing I was thinking of when I was looking back at, like, so I pulled out my 2017 journal because I wanted to find the How to Be a Happier Parent burn chart. And I could see, like, all the different places where I'd put up goals and where I'd listed what the different chunks were and sort of revised again what my, you know, what I needed to do. And for me, that's a it's a keep your mind on track thing. And I know that you, Serena, make I don't know, in my mind, it's a giant poster, but it probably is not a giant poster. But I know that like at the beginning of a big season of writing, you'll be like, you know, I'm shooting for 3 books and a serial. And, you know, these are my different deadlines. And I imagine you sort of sticking up giant post-its to put the different deadlines places. And I feel like that it's almost a different kind of big burn chart because it's, again, it's that visual.
It is. And actually, I was just doing that last weekend. And it's so much harder than figuring out how many words you could write in a month. What I was struggling with was when to advance. It's project management, really. So I have this book that I need to turn into my editor on October 9. And, but having that editorial date set up was a to-do list item that had to come into my life sometimes between deciding to write the book and choosing a publication date for it. Because once I finish a project, there are all these other people that have to be involved. And that's where all the stress comes from. So for this book, I had to hire a cover designer, and we had to establish a date for that. And I had to hire an editor because my previous editor is leaving the business. And I had to hire both male and female narrators. And this morning, I woke up to the knowledge that I hadn't asked my audio engineer to do the post-production on the audiobook yet. So it's all those deadlines that really make me crazy, because you can't sit there quietly with your, you know, bar chart in your notebook, and you're not in control of your own destiny up to a point. So I've been really struggling with that lately.
That would be panic-inducing for me. I mean, the idea that on top of writing this book, I also need to be out there figuring out who my narrators are and what my post-production stuff is going to look like. I mean, it's a much more complicated picture. And I think it's really the analogy of project management is really apt. I think that works. Anyone who's worked, you know, in the business world and had to keep together some large project like that with many, sort of that many-headed Hydra situation, I think that's a really good comparison.
Well, that is the world the burn chart comes from. You know, the original use of a burn chart is techies developing software, and they would put it up in, you know, a group workspace, and maybe everybody's pieces would, you know, would line. And basically, so what they would do is set up targets. You know, everybody needs to have, you know, written their chunks of code to achieve this piece of creating, you know, the like button for Facebook or whatever. And then, you know, those are going to go off to the bug checkers while we move on. So it was all, that's where the burn chart idea came from. So it can be perfect for managing a lot of moving parts and making, and keeping track of whether your other people are doing what you need. Like right now, I've revised and somebody else has my revision, and I can't actually, I'm pencils down. Like I can't do anything. But I'm still very aware of the day that my editor is expecting to have this revision back. So, you know, I don't know. You just can't have any illusions when you've written it down. And I don't think you have any illusions. It's kind of almost just a question of whether or not it's satisfying for you to see it laid out in, or useful. And if it's not, it's not.
I'm also one of those people that I can be completely gung-ho about something on one day and I'm all excited and I chart it out, and for like 2 days I'll track my progress and then I'll forget and then it's over. Like, you know, I'm just, for me, when I'm not focused on the process itself, I tend to lose track of the other details. So, but I like looking at your burn charts. They're very pretty. And I love looking at Serena's charts because her charts are gorgeous. And I'm very impressed by all of it. For me, it's right now, I don't know, maybe it's just because I'm in such a state of panic.
Well, yeah, but I just have to say that the idea to me of being where you are without.
Yeah.
This checklist visual reminder of what still has to, like, I would lay awake at night mentally putting, mentally drawing little boxes and creating to-do lists. That feeling, and I think some people are just like that. I have another friend and she's exactly like that. Like, in every project, there's that phase where it's all so amorphous you can't make a list.
That's how I am at the very beginning. But now I sort of, I have a mental picture of where all each of the chapters are. So,
yeah. And I need, once I get to the point where I can make that list, I'm waving my arms around so vividly here. I need to make the list. You know what it's like? It's like that whole David Allen's Getting It Done book, where he's just like, some of us just need to write it all down. Mm-hmm. And if you that, and that frees your brain to go, oh, okay, it's somewhere. Like, I'm not going to lose that.
Well, I'm definitely in that camp.
But it doesn't sound like, And it sounds like you're not, Jess. Like, you, it is somewhere. It's in your Scrivener, and you Like, that's enough to make your brain go, okay.
Well, and actually, that's a good point. If I was using Microsoft Word for this and I had no central location where all the chapters were in folders, like the very first thing I did at the beginning was arrange all of the research into the various chapters, and then I had the outlines. And so for me, Scrivener has been invaluable because it allows me to quantify to a certain extent where I am with each chapter. And that's what gives me some peace, is being able to see those chapter headings with those folders, with that stuff, with the text I've already created, and maybe the fragments that I've cut out. That, to me, is sort of burn charty. Kind of. The endpoint. So,
Jess, do you know the trick about you can import your own icons for those left-hand column?
No, I did not do that, but I'm sure I could spend a good 2 hours on that this afternoon instead of finishing this chapter.
Sounds like a good rabbit hole. Ooh, I want this one to look like a little folder.
Well that's the problem folders, with Serena, because Serena's got all these pretty little add-ons for things. So, for example, she's the one who taught me how to use Linktree in Instagram, and she spent the $6.99 to get the very pretty version, and I had the basic version. I was very tempted to go for the pretty version, and then I thought through the process of like getting all those icons and making it look pretty, and I said, and we're sticking with the basics because I knew I couldn't go there. It would have been a very fun little endeavor. No, not today. But for today, anyway, things are going great. I did have a dream night before last that you guys will appreciate. So, as you guys know, my deadline is in October, and I have scheduled a vacation starting the day after I hand it in. And my in-laws are going to be there, and my husband's going to be there, and I'm speaking at a spa at Canyon Ranch, and so it's like a built-in vacation, but also I'm working while I'm there, and it gives me a place to relax at the same time, and I want it done so that I can focus on the relaxation part. And I dreamed the other night that I was at Canyon Ranch, and I could not relax, and I couldn't figure out why I couldn't relax, and I was thinking, and then I realized, it's because I never turned my book in! It was horrible.
Sorry.
I know.
I'm laughing so hard.
Did you also forget to put your pants on? Because that's pretty much the same dream.
And take the test, right?
Well, actually, what's really funny about that is the day after I turned in Gift of Failure was the day that I went horseback riding and got thrown from the horse and bonked my head and did really forget that I had written a book Tim was leading me back from where I bonked my head and got the concussion, and he was trying to see what was happening with my memory, and he quizzed me on my book and what was it was about and the names of my children, and I did not know any of those things. And so really it was sort of like a little bit of a throwback to the day I completely forgot that I'd written a book at all, even though I had written the whole book and handed in it on time. No, ahead of time. I think I was a whole day ahead of time. Wow. Ah, a whole day ahead. That's exciting.
Well, you're taking anxiety dreams to a whole new level.
Yeah. We did have someone on the Am Writing Facebook page who announced that she handed in her manuscript with, I think she said, 28 minutes to spare, and she was very happy with herself. All right. Does anyone have anything else to say about burn charts? We will put pictures, as we said, on the website so that people can see what they actually look like, because you guys do some beautiful work when it comes to that kind of stuff. I'm very impressed.
It is a pleasure to, you know, it is an indulgence. And I will say, we're recording in the last week of August, and I think by the time this is live, it's just going to be the first week of September. This is the week for me when I need to put all my September charts together and things like that. Serena has already done hers. She was showing them to me.
Serena already,
I have not.
Already
so
got us
September charts.
Serena's the one who has already gotten us our 2020 agendas. So of course she already has her September yes. charts done.
I'm ready.
Yeah. And I will say some things just don't lend themselves to burn charting. Like if you're drafting, Pacemaker sounds like it would be better. It's almost like you only need a burn chart if it is complicated, and it's only satisfying if it is complicated. If you're just drafting, then, you know, stickers.
Mm-hmm.
Stickers are great. So I won't recreate this for... I didn't do a burn chart for Chicken Sisters till I was revising. I didn't do a burn chart for drafting it because it wasn't like that. It didn't have that many moving pieces. Unlike when I was, like, you know, doing the other, the nonfiction, and it was going to the agent and it was moving all over the place.
Well, and I'm looking at my calendar right now and I do stickers. I'm using the polar bears that Serena gave me in the middle of summer, which makes perfect sense. And I'm using my stickers. Although at this point, most days, I think my stickers are for 1200 words or something, but most days I'm double or triple stickering simply because I have to, or getting negative numbers because I'm editing. So, but really stickers are kind of irrelevant for me now. It's about time and progress and feeling good about where I am.
Awesome.
Yes.
Gold stars.
Gold stars. Yes. And really, the other thing that was a big deal for me was I canceled a lot of and rescheduled a lot of things that I just couldn't do. And I've said no to blurbing some things and I've said no to interviews. But when I got my last contracted piece out to the New York Times, I have a few edits to do. That was sort of a big, like, you know, dust my hands off and say, woohoo, now I'm just focusing back on the book stuff. So that was a big deal, too. But anyway.
Woohoo.
All right. Do we want to talk about what we've been reading?
We do.
All right. I can't go first because I haven't thought yet. So.
Oh, okay. I can go first because I have thought, and it is actually kind of funny, except I have to flail through my phone to go back. So I read a book called The Beautiful No and Other Tales of Trial, Transcendence, and I'm assuming transformation, but because my Kindle has decided it has to actually download this instead of letting me just look at the cover, Kindle. There we go. There we go. Anyway, no, the cover. I want to look at the cover. The author is Sherry Salata. She was the executive producer of The Oprah Show for a long time. And I can't just look at the cover. So fine, Kindle, go do whatever you need to do. And I'm going to do that. This is what I'm going to say about this book.
Okay.
In my opinion, there are three kinds of people. Well, there are three reactions when someone tells you that they've seen an animal psychic, right? And the first one is WTF. I mean, that's number one. The second one is, you know, sort of an amused interest, an open to the possibility that you might sort of learn something in that process with some humor and a fair amount of, you know, a bucket of salt and some sort of personal, like, okay, you know, I'm taking something from this because it's cool, but I'm not entirely right. So that would be the second. And the third one is all in, baby. Animal psychic, tell me what my dogs are thinking. So this book, the Beautiful No, this is a book for people in category three. And if that is you, this is the book for you. Go for it. That is what I've got to say.
I'm stuck on, is animal psychic a metaphor here, or does it?
No,
okay.
It is not.
All right.
Not even a little bit. And I have had someone look me in the face and say, I have called an animal psychic. And I am a two person. I am a, okay, that's a really interesting thing that you've done. And I would love to hear more about it. And if in the process you felt that you gained something, I would love to know about that. But if we can also kind of laugh at the idea of it, like, that would be good too. That's me. I am two. I am not one. I'm not going to, like, sort of cross you off my friend list. But I'm also not three. And this is a book for three people.
Okay.
You need to be all in with the animal psychic to enjoy this
book. All right.
Although I have to say, I kind of couldn't put it down for reasons of...
Well, that's an interesting review. Okay.
I
like it.
It's not exactly a negative review, nor is it exactly a pun. It's just very specific.
All right. Serena, what do you got?
Well, I read a pile of books in July, but August, for various deadline reasons, does not look the same. I am very slowly reading The Rest of the Story by Sarah Dessen, and she writes beautiful, measured, contemporary YA novels, and this one, I'm certain when I'm able to give it more time, will not disappoint.
You're going to have to tell me at some point I've never gone down the Sarah Dessen rabbit hole, and I know you're a fan. So at some point, you're going to have to tell me your favorite one so that I can start with that one.
All right.
Okay. So I've had a weird reading month. I can't I felt like I couldn't start a new book that would really suck me in, because then I would be really tempted to listen a lot. So I have been listening to something that has completely sucked me in, but it's episodic, which is Danny Shapiro's Family Secrets podcast. And it's essentially juicy family secrets in bite-sized chunks. And it's completely addictive, but you also have an endpoint, which is exactly what I have needed. I also have to say, you know those books that you feel like enough people told you that you would really like it, so you really keep sticking with it, and then finally you just throw your hands up in the air and say, forget it, I'm going to give up because I just can't do it. That's how I felt about The Snowman by Joe Nesbø. What's that O with the line through it that's Norwegian, and I can never remember what it's called. I tried so hard with that book. I really, really did. I just could not care less. So that's where I was with that one. But I do have one to recommend. A couple of our guests recommended Daisy Jones and the Six by Taylor Jenkins Reid. And it is, in audio form, absolutely delightful. It's that book that's about an imaginary rock band during the 70s and set in Los Angeles, and they have a different voice actor for every character, and they're well-known actors. It's a little bit like Lincoln and the Bardo in that sense. Really, really good audiobook, but again, it's something that I can listen to in chunks instead of getting completely sucked in from a narrative perspective. So anyway, that's what I've been listening to. Family Secrets by Danny Shapiro, you've got to listen to.
Yeah, I wanted to throw a podcast out there, too. The new one that I tried, because I wanted to listen to Jenny Nash. When I'm feeling stressed about my writing, I like to find a podcast that Jenny has been on and just listen to it. I don't even necessarily really listen. It just it makes parts of my brain start thinking. Anyway, she was on a podcast called The Writer Files, and I discovered that was going to be a new podcast for me. I really like it. So one to recommend, The Writer Files.
She always puts things in ways that are hopeful and optimistic and reality-based, that I things that feel like they're huge and I can't get my arms around them, suddenly Jenny has explained them in such a way where I'm like, oh, I could totally do that. I love listening to her.
So,
me too. Serena, I don't think you've ever done an indie bookstore shout out. Do you have one that you could do for us?
I'm sure if I did, you would have already covered it, since we cover the same ground here.
Yeah, that's true. But you've been places we haven't been, so let's see.
I don't think we've ever shouted out our local bookstore where I need to pop in today, our current local bookstore, since we've got one that closed fairly recently and another that's going to open soon. But, you know, let's shout out the Norwich bookstore.
Oh, definitely.
I think we have in there. Worth shouting out again, absolutely, because
they're
so great.
Well, we're
going to
shout them out. Again, well, I mean, always brilliantly curated. One of the things I love about them is that they have a website where I can order the book, and then when it comes in, I pop in and I've already paid for it, and they wrap it in brown paper and put it up on the shelf like I was ordering. So I find that kind of amusing, in case I don't want anyone to know that I'm reading, you know, The Beautiful No, which maybe I don't, or whatever. Anyway, that's something I really like.
Do you know how I order from there? I just email Liza, the owner, and I say, could you please get these three books for me? And then she emails back a week later and says they're waiting, and then I go in and pay.
That would be easier. I should do it that way. I do it on their website, and every single time the website says, that is not your password. You need to create a new password. And I have, like, written this password and put it, like, it is the password. So I don't know why the website
well,
hates
I guess
that. Hates, hates
my
me.
Method circumvents but. That. And I think,
yes,
you know,
exactly.
What's,
that would be way easier.
What's the point of shopping local if you can't just fire off an email? But I will say the adorable thing about it is that I did some months ago email and say, hey, could you please get me Barron's Guide to Colleges, you know? And the email that came back said, dear Serena, I can't believe that the child for whom you were just buying picture books needs this guide to colleges.
Aww. Oh, that's super sweet.
I know. And she was right.
That's really sweet. Actually, I have to say, I was looking through pictures recently, and I found a picture of my 15-year-old when he was an infant asleep on that bear that they used to have at the Dartmouth bookstore that used to be on the second floor.
Oh, yeah.
The flattened bear. And it was before we'd even moved to Hanover, but we knew we were going to be moving to the area. And I was lamenting the loss of the bookstore and the bear and my, you know, the loss of my children's youth, that kind of thing.
Overrated. At the time, you complained a lot. I'll just put it down.
Yeah, that's true. All right, kids are back in school. Yeah. Yes?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Thursday for mine. So by the time this airs, our kids will be back in school, and you can just do a mental picture of us all doing happy dances.
Yep.
Yes. Tune in next week or the week after or sometime in the very near future for all of us on that fall fresh start feeling.
Yes. That'll be good.
Ooh, alliterative.
That'll be really, really good.
Okay.
All right, everyone. Until next week, keep your butts in the chair and your head in the game. This episode of Hashtag MWriting with Jess and KJ was produced by Andrew Perella. Our music, aptly titled Unemployed Monday, was written and performed by Max Cohen. Andrew and Max were paid for their services because everyone, even creatives, should be paid for their work. Pause. Stop. Thank you.